All right, good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are going to be going over conference call. I don't remember the number, but it is Guerrilla Tactics on how do you sell a listing for the best price with the least amount of hassle. We're going to be going over some of the strategies that top producers use when they're representing the seller when things get tough. Not all of the properties are easy to sell, though we would like to think that in this type of marketplace. There still are challenges that will arise, and you need to be prepared for sometimes the inevitable, which you may have to go back on the market, or you may have to do a price reduction, or you may just have to do a better job communicating with your seller about expectations. And all of these strategies or things that you may encounter require a little bit of knowledge about some tools that may or may help you with that part of your business. So tonight we're going to talk about, in the next 15, 20 minutes, we're going to talk about reverse prospecting. We're going to talk a little bit about Zillow, the amount of showings that you may want to get or shoot for, redoing the CMA, when to do that, when to be concerned, price reductions, and talking about showing time a little bit and the My Matrix hit, and maybe share a few examples along the way. So tall order tonight, but I think we can accomplish it. If you want to take notes, that would probably be the best thing tonight. No need to jump on the MLS unless you do have a listing right now that you can play with. If you are new to the business or you're just dialing in for the first time and do not have a listing, the things I'm going to be talking about really apply to if you have a listing and how to go in and look at those stats or those reports. So there's no need for the MLS tonight. Just a pen and paper is all you need. All right, and we'll end right about 6 o'clock. So you'll be off the call and on your way to the next appointment or on your way home from work. So let's get started with reverse prospecting. So one of our agents, she was with another company, and I was actually out touring properties with her and ran into her at an open house, actually. And this is before she was with Best Choice. And the company she was at before, I mean, she was there for about 15 years, had not trained her on how to do listings. They had trained her to be a good buyer's agent, but it was very lacking as far as her training goes on the listing side of the business. And she had this property, I believe it was in Puyallup, it might have been Graham, and she had this property that was for sale, and the open house was attended well. There was still quite a few people coming and going through the open house. But she was wondering why, you know, how to get this thing moved. She felt like it was priced right. She felt like she'd marketed well. She obviously was doing open houses and doing everything she could to get feedback for her seller. But the property was just not moving. And it took somebody like me to talk with her about some other aspects of the MLS and how to look at her listing business differently so she can make some slight adjustments and ultimately get the property sold. And I was just doing this as an outsider, just giving her some feedback as a cooperating broker. I didn't have a buyer. I would have loved to help her and represent a buyer on the sale because I knew she was a great agent. But she has then come over to Best Choice and has thanked me many times for showing her some tips and tricks of how to really run a reverse prospecting list and do it the right way. So in an instance where you have some challenges, where you're just trying to get a good understanding of how well your listing is going, if you have not used reverse prospecting on the MLS, you're missing out on a huge opportunity. I've used it many times with almost all my sellers, and it's been very helpful in knowing whether I'm overpriced, whether I'm priced at market, or whether I'm under market value, so I can help educate my seller on the best strategy moving forward, or to understand when there may be a need for a change in direction or a price change discussion. These things are easy to see and spot out when you're using reverse prospecting. So what reverse prospecting is on the MLS is a tool. Quite simply, you can go to go to Matrix and then click on My Listings from the My section where you have your cart and where you have all your information. There's a little section that says My Listings. You would click on My Listings, and then there's a way to check the box next to the MLS number or next to the address. And then right below in one of the little icons, it says Reverse Prospecting with like a it looks like two heads talking with each other. What that represents is a cooperating broker that perhaps has a buyer that's interested in your listing. So the MLS provides that data to us. I wish they provided it to us in a more in-your-face kind of way, because it's that valuable to be able to look and see the moment you go live on the market, the moment you put the listing to active. You have the ability to go into My Matrix and My Listings and click on reverse prospecting and actually see how many agents have buyers that have actually that are in their cart or they've shown expressed interest in that particular property. They've either clicked on it, viewed it. Even some of the clients you'll notice may have hearts or little light bulbs next to the property that you have listed. And those are some great people to connect with, some other cooperating brokers from other firms that you may want to reach out to. When I list a property, that's kind of fun to check that out. In fact, I put it as one of my to-do items, and I go in to see on the first night how many agents have actually put it in their basket or how many clients that they have put it in their basket. And I can see based on, you know, how many. And I'd love to kind of gauge how well we marketed and how many people are looking at it. And that will show you, it will give you the name of the cooperating agent. It will tell you how many clicks, and it will also show, just some basic information, whether they loved it, whether they put it in the light bulb, or whether it was just sent to them in an email. So it's a way for you to easily, and you can sort it too, which is nice. You can click on the date that was sent, and it will sort based on the day or the, so say you didn't check it the first day on the market, you'd actually get to sort it, you know, say tomorrow, and it would show you yesterday and today in a nice, easy to look at type of format. And like I said, in my opinion, I think it's so valuable, and I think the MLS has missed the boat by not making this more apparent to agents or training on this to make it come alive, if you will. The technology is there for that type of data. It's what you do with the data that I think is more important and more important for me to train on and let you guys know where to go to get the information. But we're going to talk tonight about what to do with the information. So right from that screen, when you're looking at reverse prospecting and you check the box and you see all the agents that have shown interest, there is a little mail icon that you can check next to their name, and you could create a simple email and give them more information about your listing or advise them that you have an open house scheduled for this weekend, offer to help, you know, in getting their client in, that you value agency relationship and that you would be happy to show the property for that buyer's agent that may be really, really busy this weekend. That would be an opportunity that I would seize if I was representing the seller. I would want to get as many people as I could through that property to actually tour that property in person, and that usually will generate you the highest price and the best offer that you possibly can by really working with those cooperating brokers, realizing that they probably have many clients they're working with, and they're probably very busy this weekend. Memorial Day is, in my opinion, when I look at the stats, is probably the biggest weekend in real estate. It's like the kickoff where everybody starts to wake up to the marketplace. You know, kids will be out of school by the time they close on their property. A lot of people will put their homes on the market in May because they got Memorial Day weekend where they can be gone camping, where they can be out of the house so that the real estate agent can show the property. I see probably the most amount of listings in May, you know, May 28th, 29th, and 30th than the entire year at times in certain areas. So it's really the kickoff. And so realizing that that's a very big weekend for real estate, if you're representing the seller and you've got a home on the market and you're checking your reverse prospecting statistics and you see that there's been, let's just say, 10 listing or 10 buyer's agents that have buyers that are interested in your property, the number one thing I would do is either call them, see if I could reach them by phone, or text them. Texting works great these days. Depending on where area you work, you may want to text them. The text message I would send to those agents would be, I know you're busy this weekend. Has your buyer checked out my listing MLS number? Put the MLS number in there. I would be available to help you write an offer this weekend if you are too busy. I value agency relationships. And then put your name. And it will be you'll be amazed by how many people actually respond because you're thinking outside the box. You're helping the buyer's agent do their job, and ultimately, you're doing the best for your seller because you're getting as many people through that property as you possibly can. This obviously, you know, in some areas of our marketplace where it's super hot, where you'd have, I mean, you could list the property in Bellevue, for example, and maybe have 5 pages of interested buyers and agents that have clicked on your home or your property. That might not be feasible to be able to run this reverse prospect and actually personally contact the agents that have expressed interest in the last 24 hours. But for something like this, or a property that may be challenging to sell or have trouble visualizing or getting people into the property, you may have to be proactive and actually contact some of the people on the reverse prospecting list. So I've done both of those strategies, and it's worked very well, both to stir up interest. If there's going to be a lot of showings and you know some of the cooperating agents that have buyers, like, for example, I know Lori Lewandowski has a team of agents that work in her office, but one of her clients has expressed interest. So I may text Lori Lewandowski, who works in Kent, Covington, that kind of area, and just say, you know, I know you're super busy this weekend. I wanted to bring your attention to MLS number such and such. It looks like you have a buyer that's interested. Please let me know how I can help you in getting an offer on this property this weekend. And then I sign my name. I mean, it's like, wow, Rochelle's taking the time to personally text me and offer to help. And she knows how I work because we've done a lot of cross sales together in the past 10 years. And she may take me up on it where I go meet the client, let them tour the house, and then give her the information of what kind of offer they want to put together. And then we've got an offer on the table from Lori Lewandowski, who I know will get it done. So that's an example of how to use reverse prospecting in a hot market. But I also use reverse marketing when I get into a bind. For example, if the house I have listed falls apart, the buyer flakes, the buyer walks away during the inspection, and all of a sudden I have to turn the property from pending back to active, this is another opportunity where I will go into reverse prospecting and look at the agents when I make it go back to active who have expressed interest and either personally call them and text them to give them more, and I will send them a text that says, would you like more information on MLS number such and such? It went back to active and is a very good possibility for your buyer. Sign my name. I will get text messages that are in response to that. What can you tell me? What happened? Why did it fall apart? And I will text them back and I'll say the buyer failed and, you know, the buyer walked away from the inspection during the inspection time frame. I'll give them more information. You know, the VA appraiser was ridiculous. We're looking now for a conventional buyer. Is your buyer conventional? So we'll have discussion threads like that in the form of a text message, and we'll do that with reverse prospecting statistics of interested buyer's agents or interested agents have buyers who have expressed interest in my property or in my MLS number. And we'll have those types of conversations via text. Works really well. Also phone calls if people don't text. People are either very good at texting or they're very good on the phone, one or the other when it comes to real estate brokers. And that's what I've experienced. If they don't text you back right away, then you may want to pick up the phone and give them a call if they've had a hot client or they had a client that loved your home and you just went back on the market to active. Those are the kind of conversations you want to have. I've also used it, you know, when I'm just trying to stir up interest for the open house, to let people know that I'm doing a special open house. This could be the initial open house that I do, or maybe I'm doing something special, like it's been on the market for a couple months and I still have not got it done, or I did a price reduction. I want that agent that has that buyer to actually know who I am and know that I'm a very professional listing agent, that I care about helping them get a deal. And so what I'll do is I'll send them a personal email. You can do it right from the reverse prospecting sheet list. But I don't like the way the subject line automatically reads. So I will remove the subject line. And the strategy that I use is I will create something that I can copy and paste very easily, and I will send that email message to everybody on the reverse prospecting. I will even include a link maybe to the virtual tour or a link to a new flyer with a new price, or I may just have a screenshot of the MLS sheet. Whatever it would be, it needs to look like it's personal. And I don't like this as a reverse prospecting inquiry. it sounds too automated on the subject line on that if you use the subject line when you click the email icon on reverse prospecting. So I'll create my own subject line, but I will kind of can the body of the email and send that out and copy and paste on each one. Again, the MLS should get with the program and actually make this easier, but this is how I do it, and it works very well. I get a very good response rate on those emails that I send to those agents saying, thank you so much for, but my client's no longer interested, or, yeah, I'll make sure to send my client over to the open house, or, you know, I saw that was reduced. What happened to it? I mean, I'll have a lot of conversation and dialogue because of the email that I send, in essence, giving that buyer's agent more information about my listing. So that's an option for you as far as reverse prospecting. They also have a counter, and you can sort it. So I have also, when I have a very stubborn seller, and you know the type I'm talking about if you've been in the business a long time, where they want to set the price, and they want to see numbers, and they want to see statistics. And so sometimes what I'll do when I have to go in and get a price reduction is I'll take that reverse prospecting sheet, print it out, express to the seller when I meet with them, that these are all of the agents that I have connected with since the moment we listed the property. And when I'm trying to get the seller to agree on my price rather than their price, because we've tried their price and obviously their price hasn't produced an offer, I will show them all of the interested agents that I've connected with. And again, I've called them, texted them, or emailed them and had conversations. And I will express to them that it's not my price. The agent community has spoken. And they have said, based on the information we've provided on the open market, that your price is too high. Then when I'm looking for a price reduction, it makes it very easy because it becomes less personal. It's less personal that my agent has told me I've got to reduce the price. It's more about the agent community. The real estate brokers have all spoken, and they have expressed that our price is too high. I spin it that way, and then it's less threatening, and it's a lot easier to negotiate with the seller to get that price where it needs to be in order for the buyers to take another look, or the agents that represent those buyers to actually write an offer and get it done. And that strategy has worked for me, not only in this state, but in the state of Texas, in the state of Utah, in the state of Colorado, in the state of Arizona. That strategy works very, very well, and I've learned this because I've talked with a lot of consumers, and they always say, you know, the agents that just want me to reduce my price, and they don't give me reason on why, those agents just don't sit well with me. That's why we get a bad reputation out there in the industry, is because we want to just reduce the price and get it moved as quickly as we can so we can get a commission. That's what consumers think, when in reality, it's deeper than that. There's a lot of thought and a lot of statistics and a lot of marketing that we do as real estate brokers that we can share with the consumer or share with our seller so that they are educated and know when they should drop their price, know when they should maybe consider talking with some other brokers and finding out the reason why their price needs to be adjusted. Maybe they didn't have the garage, or maybe the condition needs to be adjusted before they reduce the price. Maybe it's not the price. Sometimes it may not be, but if I approach it that the real estate community is saying this to me, and look at all the people that have expressed interest or I have connected with, the sellers respond much more favorably. So think about that the next time you go in to negotiate with the seller about reducing the price. If it's not you and it's not them, it's the real estate community that has spoken, and here are the results from the reverse prospecting statistics. And here's what I've done since we've listed in order to get you an offer, and we haven't been successful, and here are the reasons why, and then go through it with them. Zillow is also an area, we are posting on Zillow, so you should have some statistics that you can provide to the client or the seller about how many impressions. Again, these are just numbers, and obviously if you see the weekly statistics on Zillow, that 500 people have liked it, 400 people have seen it, and then next week when you send that report to your seller, only 200 people have saw it, and only 100 people have liked it. And then you see another week goes by, and only 10 people have seen it. All of a sudden, you can show the seller, because you've been sending those weekly reports from Zillow to the seller, that we need to do something different, that our strategy is kind of losing its flavor, if you will, and we need to basically come up with a new strategy to get more people interested and more people on Zillow and other websites clicking on your property. So you can use that as an indicator or a barometer of how well the marketing is setting, you know, out set out there. And as you know, and you may have to express to the seller who are new to the business or new to selling their home, that every week it goes by where we don't get an offer, you have less and less people that are interested in. Your first 2 weeks are the hottest, and then it drops down. Doesn't mean that they won't get it done, but it's less people are interested, and you become set in the marketplace where you have to do something different and creative in order to get more people interested in it. So consider that when you're looking at Zillow and the reports they provide. It does help you, but again, it's just an indicator. The real things that you do on a daily basis to market and properly price their home and properly get it set for market are more important than some of the results that you find on Zillow. When we talk about the amount of showings, I want to give you a little bit of tips on that. If you're only getting, let's say, 3 showings a week, like say a whole week goes by and you've only had 3 showings, that means you're probably priced right about market value. Means that 3 people, you know, have actually scheduled tours and showed the home, you're probably priced at market. If you're less than 3 showings in the week, you're most likely overpriced. And I can make that general assumption because most of the time that's the case. If you had no showings, there's something not right. Either you're overpriced, not marketed, not enough photos. Maybe it's the condition is not, you know, such where there's not enough information to go off of. The location might not be desirable, or you just may be on the market in that, you know, if you haven't got no showings in that first weekend, you may be in an area which will take a lot longer to sell that property. So if you are getting the showings in 3 approximately a week, your price is probably at market. If you're getting a well above 3, maybe 10, 20, multiple showings in a weekend, lots of people at an open house, then you are likely to get multiple offers on your property. So that's a good indicator, is the amount of showings that you're getting. If you're getting those showings and you've got everything, the pictures look amazing, the photo of your front is ideal, the location is ideal, condition is awesome, the availability is such on the MLS where people can get in to see the property, and you're not getting any showings, then what is it? What are you left with? You're left with just the price. But sometimes the seller wants to try it at the higher price, and that's fine. After about a month of being on the market at that price with no offers and no showings, then at that point you need to have the pricing conversation with them, and based on the feedback that you're getting, and you may have to get feedback by doing reverse prospecting with no showings to be able to provide that feedback to a seller. And these are the stubborn sellers, and I work with a lot of them myself, or I have in the past, and you have to provide them with good, effective data for them to make a decision and lower their price. And it can be done. I mean, I've got sellers to reduce their price to $100,000, $150,000, $250,000. I've been in situations where they were very stubborn, but the market will dictate to them with enough time and enough data, it will show them, not you, you're just providing the facts of the matter, what they need to do if they are truly motivated to sell. Also something to consider, when you do the CMA, when we're talking about price, and you're down into the situation where you've done everything you possibly can and it's just not selling, you know, you know it's probably overpriced, you need to consider doing a CMA every month. If the property is going to sit on the market, every month the market changes. And so if you're not doing another CMA or providing that another CMA to your seller, you're doing your seller a disservice by not giving them the data that they deserve. You should be doing it, if the property is going to stay on the market for a month or longer, you need to be doing a new CMA and providing them with that new information. There will be new actives that come on the market. There will be new pendings that come on that go under contract. It should have been you, but it was actually that other property that was active. You may have helped them sell the property because you were overpriced, but then you can show that with the pending stats or the pending sales that you are putting in your CMA at that point in time. And then the sold data that is showing that maybe that property that you listed at the time, after 30 days, maybe they paid for concessions. Maybe they actually had to reduce their price to get it done. Those are important things to consider when you have that conversation with the seller about price. Have you done a good CMA? Did you actually go through and do another CMA for that seller before you discussed with them a price reduction? If you haven't done that, you're doing your seller a disservice, and you're leaving money on the table. And in my opinion, you know, that's to be done if you're a listing agent and you are working with a difficult seller, to make sure that you've done your CMA and you do it on a monthly basis and educate the seller throughout the process. You can also negotiate a price reduction. This is a strategy that a lot of top producers do when they've been in the business a long time, they've taken a lot of seller leads, or they've done a lot of listings and they've become, maybe they got too many stubborn sellers, and I've had that happen, where I can kind of clue into that seller from the moment I meet with them. And so what I do effectively on every listing appointment is I make sure not only do I have a 1A listing agreement there with me to have the seller sign, but I've been in situations with sellers that are very stubborn. Maybe they want to try their price, even though I've given them data that suggests a different price. I'm not going to walk away from the listing when we're, you know, $10,000, $15,000 away from where it effectively needs to be. I'll take the listing, but I also have a Form 18 along with me. And then Form 18 is, in essence, the same type of form as like a Form 34 when you represent a buyer. It's an open field area where you can write information about a price reduction, that the seller, after 2 weeks, the seller agrees to reduce the price to this, or maybe we're going to try a different strategy. Best Choice Realty will host an ultimate open house on Saturday and Sunday, or maybe we'll do the ultimate open house after we do the price reduction. Then any kind of language like that to keep the seller on track, keep them focused about the big picture, that could be written into a Form 18 and made part of the listing contract. You also can pre-negotiate a price reduction on a Form 18. So that can be done with a 1A and a Form 18, and I always have a Form 18 ready for that stubborn seller sitting in my bag or in my listing paperwork so that I can be ready to go if I need to have something written into the contract. So everybody's clear on what's going on with the marketing or what's going on with the price strategy. We have that in writing from the very beginning. That's a good strategy to start to have, especially if you're dealing with stubborn sellers. The last thing I'll talk briefly about, and then I'll let you guys go, is the showing time feedback. It's super important that you're conveying or you block out time every single week to work with your seller and to give them feedback on the listing. Whether it be by text, by phone, or by email, you should be communicating with your seller at least once a week. To let them know what you've done, what has been done, what still needs to be done on the property, and any kind of feedback that you're getting that will help encourage them to either do something different with their property. Maybe they have to clean up some trash in the garage. Maybe they need to do something. Maybe their house smells a little bit in the back bedroom. Those are some important tips or information or feedback you can provide to the seller, but they won't be able to do anything unless you communicate. So, one of the most frustrating things that sellers will convey to me when they get upset with their seller or upset with their listing agent, sellers upset with their listing agent and want to cancel the listing, is I will take back the listing because I will share with the seller that it sounds to me like your issue with the agent is not with the company or what we've done to help you sell the property. It's with the communication that's been done. And most of the time, 90% of the time, it's because the listing agent hasn't done a good job at following up with that seller on a weekly basis and giving them information about what's going on with their seller, what's going on with the sale of their home. So be sure you're communicating with them. There are many tools out there that you have available, and there are third-party sites that will provide you with, you know, feedback. I don't know if you know this, but ShowingTime actually has that feedback embedded into their product, and ShowingTime is free when you use ShowingTime through the MLS. They have a feedback survey that you can send. If you don't like ShowingTime, there are many other kinds of companies that have been formed. I can send you a few that you could try out if you'd like. For a monthly service fee, they will send out surveys on your behalf to the agents that have shown your property. Supra Ekey also has a way to send feedback. I don't get a lot of feedback from Supra. I would advise you not to use Supra as the way to ask for feedback with potential buyer's agents. However, ShowingTime is actually much more widely used, and when I have used ShowingTime to ask for feedback, I get a pretty good response rate on that. So you may want to consider using ShowingTime or looking to see how that feedback system works within ShowingTime if you haven't used it in a while. The usage rate with the MLS is well above 50%. So depending on what area of the marketplace you work, you may want to revisit that solution, that technology solution, in order to get feedback from buyer's agents. You still are not going to get 100% feedback. You know, if you have, say, 10 agents that show your property, you may, if you'd be doing good if you got 4 or 5 of them to give you feedback. That's normal. But if you're not even asking for the feedback, again, I feel like you're doing a disservice to the seller by not getting that feedback. I also tell the seller, you know, if they're living in the property and they're, you know, obviously people are leaving their business cards on the counter, if they want me to get really, really good feedback for them, I involve the seller. I've used this strategy when people are living in the property and they are the high maintenance type seller. I tell them, if you want me to, I can always read the key box. That's one thing I always assure them. I can always read the key box and find out, you know, who's shown the property and follow up. But if you want me to be very proactive, what I would need from you is when you're sitting there in your home and you're, or the weekend and you come back from, you know, being gone on Saturday, if you want me to follow up with all the agents, if you want to text me either the business card or you want to text me their phone number, I will call each one of those buyer's agents and find out what their clients thought of the property. So if you want to involve the seller, sometimes sellers love that. Sometimes sellers don't. Sometimes they just want you to do all the work. And you've got to read your seller and find out how they best like to communicate with you and then respond accordingly. But you should be getting feedback. And like I said, if you're not getting about 40% of the agents that are showing giving you feedback, then you may want to start that up. And your listings aren't selling, you may want to start that up so you can get some feedback and give that feedback to your sellers. Okay, so that's all I've got tonight. Hope you guys took a few tips and tricks away from tonight's call. If you have any other specific questions about your seller or your listing, you want a set of eyes on it, I'm happy to respond to your email or your text saying, hey, Rochelle, check out this MLS number. I'm wondering why it's not selling. I'd be happy to help you and give you some tips on that. Have a great week, you guys. It's really hot and sunny, and hopefully we have a great weekend next weekend. I'll catch you again next Monday at the same time, same place. Talk to you soon.